The church say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are blessed to be on the time side of life. We are encouraged by the brother's message that is such an inspiring thing to know that God has been with you. Amen. And we have many stories of these healings that God has done on many of his people, but it's wonderful to see very few times that we have someone be able to come up and speak about it and speak so passionately and powerfully. And then know the word the way you do. That's just an inspiration to us all. I've been given the charge to speak on spiritual healing as the series of messages have come, and we will go over this message, and hopefully in this short amount of time, we will grow closer to God for having done so. I want to give appreciative for this congregation for giving me the opportunity to preach. I speak and I serve at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I serve as the youth minister. This is my fourth year as the youth minister there. I'm enjoying my time working with the young people, and it has been a blessing to inspire them and to see them and try to help them to not make the same mistakes I made. That is my ultimate goal. This morning, we're going to come from the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. The scripture reads, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." And so this morning, the simple topic is spiritual healing. Spiritual healing. There are some things that have happened in our lives that may have broken us down on a spiritual level. And if you're not aware, we will allow these things to fester and grab a hold of our integrity. It'll grab a hold of our lives as a Christian to where we no longer are authentic in our Christianity. And so we must understand first that we have been spiritually healed already. The Bible says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's the purpose statement. So that, why did he bore the sins on the cross? So that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. The purpose for his death was so that we would die to sin and live in righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. What I want you to understand this morning is that you have been healed if you've been baptized for the remission of your sins. Your spirit, you were cleansed by the blood of Jesus if you have been baptized for the remission of your sins. And hopefully by the end of this, if you have not, you will make it to where you have been. You will be baptized for the remission of your sins. But Peter quotes Isaiah 53, where it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we have been healed." Amen. What you have is you are already healed spiritually. You have something that you could not do for yourself. What you have is imputed righteousness. God sees you as the perfect, even though you have not earned the perfect. It is when you go to the doctor for treatment, you are feeling the pain. And what you normally have to do is tell the doctor in detail what is currently going on with you. And through by him understanding, based on his studies or his experience, what you describe, he's not feeling it. So it's very important that you tell him what's going on. Then he will be able to say, "I prescribe this treatment. I prescribe this medication." But what you have here is a strange type of healing with God. God has bore the pain. And by him bearing the pain, you receive the healing. It is a strange type of healing because normally when I go to the doctor, I have to tell him, but God knew what was wrong with me and healed it. when I obeyed Christ in the water grave of baptism. So when you understand that I have this imputed righteousness, when I have salvation in me, I can walk around and not be depressed everywhere I go. I can see somebody in the lunch line or at the grocery store, and if the line is taking long, I can be reminded by his stripes I have been healed. I don't have to walk around agitated. I don't have to walk around angry because I received something that I could not do for myself, and I am healed through Jesus' salvation. Now, this is a wonderful thing, but we live in a world where there's temptation all around us. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who have been dead to sin continue to live any longer therein? And we know, know you not that as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, have been baptized into his death. If you have been baptized, if you have received remission of your sins, you can live in a state where, you know, I no longer will live in sin because I'm dead to sin. That's easier said than done, especially when you that in your younger years. We're temptation now. We have so many things that distract us. We have Facebook. We have Instagram. We have Snapchat. And I can be just on my normal day scrolling, and based on what my friends may post, put me in a mindset that I did not even intend. Somebody posts something and they showing all the bodies, all the body parts, and I'm scrolling, looking at who's on vacation, who got out of the hospital, and then somebody posts something. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't even go in there. And so it places, it would be nice. I have been healed spiritually. I'm trying to live right, but I live in a world where I'm exposed to different types of things that reminds me that there's a war in my members. Amen. And so Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7, verse number 22. Get there for me. Romans chapter 7, verse number 22. The scripture says, for my inner being, I delight in God's law. And hopefully you have time where you study, where you delight in reading the word of God. Verse 23, but I see another law at work in me, raging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin and death within me. Now, I have delight in the law of the Lord, but there's another thing that's going on in me. There's a war going on in my members. There's something inside of me that wants, that although I want to do something right, there's still something inside of me that equally want to do something wrong. In psychology, they call it cognitive dissonance. In the psychological world, cognitive dissonance is when you have two conflicting thoughts in the same line. And it is scientifically proven that it causes physical pain. There's physical discomfort when you feel a certain way about something, but you also feel another way, and they are constantly in contrast with each other. Let me give you an example. I don't smoke, but let me use the smoking example. I smoke. And so I know that smoking is bad, but I smoke. These two are cognitive dissonance. Dissonance is used in music. It's when two notes are not in harmony with each other. Dissonance is not being on one accord. So when I say I smoke, but I know it's bad, I feel bad about it. And it doesn't allow me to truly enjoy this. So what do you do to resolve dissonance? If I say that I love God, but I want to have sex with this person who is not my mate, how do I deal with it? How do I rationalize so that there's no dissonance? I'm going to speak because I'm talking to older folk here. Sometimes it is the reason why you're not able to perform in that sexual act, because you know you're not supposed to be doing it. But spirit and spiritually you're convicted, but you physically want to enjoy this moment of sin. There's pleasure in sin for a season. And so this dissonance, this causes you to not be able to truly function in either way. You're not performing as a Christian, but you're contradicting yourself in that you want to commit the sin. And so you don't have a sense of harmony. Cognitive dissonance, how do I get rid of the cognitive dissonance? One, I can change my thinking. I can say, you know what, I smoke, but smoking is not bad.
And so therefore, it allows me to continue to smoke. I can change my thinking. A lot of times we've changed our thinking on some of the sins we do. Oh, I'm not on crack, dirty, low-down crack cocaine, so that's bad. I never really had a problem with that. But when it comes to gossip, I'm willing to tell you everything about everybody. Because that's my thing, but gossiping is not that bad. I've changed my mind. Although I know I shouldn't do it, I've changed my mind, and so therefore, now that I do it, I'm okay with it because I've minimalized the process. I can change my thinking. Another way to get rid of the cognitive dissonance that is going on within me is to change my behavior. Okay, I smoke. Smoking is bad, so therefore, I'm no longer gonna smoke. And this is what God would have you to do to change your behavior. By renewing your mind, you are to change your behavior. Okay, here it is. I smoke. Smoking is bad. I'm going to stop smoking. I like sex. Sex is a sin outside of the context of the bond of marriage. So therefore, I will change my behavior and no longer have sex. This is spiritual healing. Because you can't have claim spiritual health until you've gotten rid of what is causing you to be spiritually infected. And some of us are infected with things. Some of us have people in our lives that cause us to rehash the infection with no treatment. And so I come and I wonder, why am I constantly having struggles? Because I have this infection and I'm never going to heal unless I get rid of what is causing me to be infected. So now here it is, I can change my thinking, so I can and I can trivialize what I'm doing wrong, or I can change my behavior and do what is right in the sight of God. I can also add another thought with cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance, I can add another thought. Okay, smoking is bad, but I smoke, but I also do other things that are good. I eat vegetables and I exercise. So therefore, in doing so, I have added another thought which allows me to continue in my smoking because I rationalize it, which is what we do with our sin, which allows me, you know what, I go to worship, I give of my means, I read the Bible. This is only one thing that I struggle with. So therefore, the cognitive dissonance that would have been there, I've been able to wipe out for years because I am living in a way that allows me to say, well, I do so many other things. I'm here on Saturday morning, I must be all right. And allows me to go and continue to do what I've been doing my whole life. Cognitive dissonance, the last thing I could do is to trivialize the whole thing. Smoking is bad. I smoke. I'm going to continue to smoke, and it's really not that great of a thing. And that we live in a world where they trivialize spirituality. We live in a world where they trivialized how to live a life as a Christian. I talk to somebody, and they don't want to talk about it. And I remember dating, if you didn't want to talk about God, we ain't had nothing else to talk about. I remember it would be in a relationship where I was so caught up in this relationship with this girl, but we could not bring God up. And I had to come to the realization, we have no future if I can't relate when we talk about the Word of God. We have nothing. And so therefore, it was the hardest thing, but I had to take that out of my life. So now, how do I fix? How do I heal? How do I heal spiritually? Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse number 15, what I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. And I do what I hate. You know, I work for the Houston Fire Department, and when we come on scene, a lot of times we have injuries or lacerations. When you see a laceration or a cut, there's a certain form of treatment that you have to do. First, you have to identify what's causing it, what has caused it. Is there anything still inside the wound? Is there dirt or debris? And so I have to identify spiritually. In my life as a Christian, if I want to spiritually heal, what is in my life that is causing me to not live my life as a Christian? I don't care what age you are, there's still something that allows you to be distracted from the Word of God. The first thing we do when we get up is we check our cell phones, text messages, Instagram, direct messages, Facebook, Snapchat. We check in something instead of what we used to do back in the day when we were on fire for the Lord. We get in that word 15 minutes a day, but we spend more time on our phones than we do in the Word of God. So now, how do I identify what's going on in my life? How do I identify? 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. First step is you're going to have to identify what's causing the spiritual barrier. And you're going to have to set barriers in our life. There's certain people you're going to have to cut out. And it's not out of vengeance. It's not out of hate. But you are not. You have to identify, I'm on this route to heaven. And if I continue to allow this person to be in my life, they're going to drag me in the wrong direction that I've continued. For years, I've tried to bring them to the Lord, but they are not coming. These people are in your life for a season so that you can influence them, not so they can influence you. Amen. And when you allow that to continue, you are going on a course that is going to lead to a devil's hell. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of God, of the living God. You need to understand that you're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's a person in your life, and you know who it is. You know who it is. That when you see them, they make you want to immediately get into that act of sin. I'm talking about in a sexual relationship. I'm not married. I see somebody that I like, and they relieve this physical outlet that is a need physiologically. And I understand that. But God has placed that in the proper context, which is for marriage. It can be like my friends back in the day that always wanted to smoke weed. And I had to cut them out. I never smoked. I didn't want to smoke. My thought was not necessarily spiritual. I was thinking, if I have to fill out an application for the FBI, I don't want to have to lie. So I was on the straight and narrow because I had a future in my mind. It wasn't that I was going to be holier than thou. But it helped me say, nah, man, I'm not going to do that. But for whatever it is, there's things that are in your life that are people in your life that cause you to sin, and you have to cut it out. The first thing what I had to do when you get to a scene is make sure there's nothing in the wound. Now, the healing process cannot start until you've taken out all the things that can contaminate the wound. And certain, we have wounds that are open. We have wounds that are still contaminated that we have not cleaned in years. And we allow this to fester, and we wonder why we have trouble even paying attention to the sermon. We come out of habit to worship. We come out of habit because I feel convicted. Cognitive dissonance does not allow me to sit at home. But at least while I'm here, I'm here. Wow, be hurt, be glad when this brother is done. Now I can go feel good again. And it's out of habit, not necessarily because of my spiritual conviction that I want to serve God in spirit and in truth. So the first step is to weed out who is in my life, what is in my life, whether it be the social media, whatever it is, go on a cleanse and clean it out. The second step is cleansing. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves in everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence to God. We're going to have to clean everything out. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and the spirit. That means, you know what? I'm going to have to let you go. I'm sorry. We've had a run. Now look, I'm here if you want to talk about the Word of God. I'm here if you want to study the Word. I want to help you get to heaven. This is what our relationship, the nature, is going to be about. We can go bowling in the name of the Lord. We can serve in the name of the Lord. But we are not going to do what we used to do or what we planned on doing tonight, Saturday night. It's got to be done. Amen. And so I'm cleansing everything that causes me to stop. Now, if it's your computer, where you can get to the quick access to the pornographic site, if it's this person's cell phone number that you gotta dial it, you know that they're never gonna come around, or you believe that, you keep the contact, but you're gonna have to stop texting them. You're gonna have to leave that person alone, cut it out, whatever it is, because you don't want to have to give account to God. Why did you allow this to remain in your life knowing that it is wrong? Like a smoker. Now, I remember my friends being to the point where they were so health conscious that they can be in Burger King and still not eat. They will, if they eat anything, they're going to eat a salad. Why is that?
Now, Burger King may not be your thing, Whataburger, whatever it is. They would be able to be in a fast food restaurant and still not eat of all the great things that are in Whataburger. The reason being is that their mind was already made up. I knew before I came into this place, I'm not going to eat. So it starts after I've cleansed myself of all the impurities, I can live a life of cleanliness. Amen. I can even be in an environment where sin is around me. But because my mind is made up, I'm not going to take part in the double cheese, onions, the lettuce, tomato. Yeah, you can give me that. But the rest of it, I would not take part of because I know that this is not part of my diet anymore. And because of that, I can live spiritually healed. I can live spiritually healed. The last step, and I'm going to give you this lesson, is to understand that circulation helps the wound heal. Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7, but if I walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. What you're going to have to do is, what God wants you to do is change your behavior. For spiritual healing, I can no longer change my mindset about it to say that smoking is bad, but I'm going to smoke anyway. I'm going to change my mindset. I'm going to change my behavior and say smoking is bad, so therefore I'm no longer going to smoke. John says, if you walk in the light and he is in the light, as he is in the light, the blood cleanses. Now this, I want you to understand that this does not require perfection. You are not going to be perfect. In your walking in the light, you are not going to be perfect. You will sin and you're going to continue to sin. It's going to be something that's going to be until Jesus comes. And so walking in the light means that I am trying to live my life for God as he is in the light. How do you know that it doesn't require perfection? It's because, number one, I've never been perfect, neither are you. But also, if there would be no need for the cleansing, if I was already clean. So the scripture says, if I walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood cleanses. So that means I stepped out. I went and I did something wrong. God, forgive me. I'm walking back in the light. I sinned. God, forgive me. I walk back in the light. Now, where I lose that connection is if I'm living for God and I'm deciding, I want this all the way. I want this girl. I want her to be in my life, and I'm not coming back. I have decided to live a life not worthy of my calling. Therefore, I'm no longer walking in the light. And so the blood will not cleanse me here. Even after I've been baptized for the remission of my sins, I must continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood cleanses. And therefore, with this cleansing, I'm connected to the blood. Now, when you get a wound, what you have to do is take out whatever it is that's causing it to be inflamed, clean the wound, and then get it back together so that the blood can circulate. Now, what I'm telling you this morning, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you don't have any circulation of blood. And like our people who have been in our lives with diabetes, the circulation stops and the wounds aren't able to heal because circulation stops. When you stop coming to the worship, to the house of worship God, you're not connected to the blood. When you stop reading the word, you're not connected to the blood. And so therefore, you will not receive the rejuvenating powers of the blood that continues. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the scripture says the blood cleanses. How do I become spiritually healed? Number one, if I'm not a Christian, I can become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By repenting of my sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And in the water, I receive the blood. But if I'm a Christian and I've been living a long time and I've allowed things to fester and cause my spirituality to be inflamed, the way to get it back is to take out what is inflaming in my life as a Christian. If I have to do it, and this is the hardest part, I'm going to have to identify what's causing me to sin and eliminate it. That's the hardest thing. And you can't do that by yourself. You need Jesus. You need accountability of brothers and sisters in Christ to say, I'm dealing with this. I need you to help me. And a Christian, a true Christian, will try to help you. Then after I've eliminated what's causing the wound, I'm going to cleanse it out, and I'm going to get back into the blood so that I can have this continued circulation that through the study of word, through the worship, through Bible class, I am continuously getting back into the word of God and I can spiritually heal. Now, if my boyfriend or girlfriend is not a member of the Lord's church, this is going to be harder. So either one or two things are going to happen. You're going to have to bring them here and they're going to have to conform, or you're going to have to cut them out.
Amen.
You cannot serve God and the world.
Amen.
I'm here this morning to tell you, if you're a Christian, you already have spiritual healing. That's the great news. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous does great things. It availeth much. We have prayers to God. We can talk to him, and you have already received healing. And this is not like my tithe. I love tithe. But when I wash my clothes, if I go outside and do some yard work, they're dirty again. With Jesus, I say, God, forgive me, and the blood still cleanses. I don't have to get baptized every week. It is a continual walk. It's a continual cleansing. And therefore, I am spiritually healed through the blood of Jesus. If you stand subject to invitation, or if you want to become a Christian, we give you that opportunity. I understand there's another. We got to do a breakout session. So that is my time. That is my lesson. You are already spiritually healed as a Christian. But some of us have some things that are festering.
Amen.
Identify what's causing it. Clean it out. Stay connected to the blood. And you will have spiritual healing. That's my lesson.
Amen.
If you